Find the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. As you're turning there, I want to point out a thing or two about what Brother John brought up this morning, and how that God is serious about our obedience, and He's serious about His Word, and we see as serious and as terrible as some of His judgments can be, His blessings are just as great for those who obey. And obedience, and I'm not talking about a perfect obedience. None of the characters in the Bible, except for our Savior, Jesus Christ, was ever perfect in their obedience. But their hearts were with God, the ones that He used examples of. And we're going to be looking at Solomon this morning. But obedience does at least three things that I could point out that's not hard to understand. And probably you've experienced it yourself. It first of all proves our love for God. Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And it also, obedience demonstrates our faithfulness. And that we're witnesses of the things that God has spoken, and that we are serious about what we believe, and we act upon what we believe. So obedience demonstrates our faithfulness, and probably most importantly, obedience glorifies God. It gives Him the glory, and it brings glory to His name, and the greatest glory that God can receive is through His church. Unto Him be glory in the church. So our first step of obedience is through the waters of baptism, to serve the Lord in His local church, and to be obedient in that. And that's why we always impress upon people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you really trust Him, then you should be, your next consideration is, how will I serve Him in this world? And not that I set it up this way, but God did, that we serve Him through His church. And I'm very strong on that. So I think that there may be what people call silent Christians, or whatever you might want to call them. But I think if you're going to obey God, if you're going to obey Him with all your heart, you need to be involved in one of His true New Testament Baptist churches. So that's not my message today, though. But my message is one of that was encouraging to me as I was studying. We've been studying some of the characters in the Old Testament, and looking at some of the characters. I thought about Solomon, and in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, you'll find through the first 15 verses that Solomon's prayer for wisdom was granted. And you know, every day you see this choice that Solomon made, and how God blessed him. So every day you make choices, and you choose to do certain things from day to day, and you should ask yourself before you act upon those decisions, do they honor God? And would they ensure His blessing? So we see this in Solomon. And it's good to find that Solomon loved the Lord. Verse 3 says that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. So he loved the Lord. And it's true that the things that God has done, the blessings of God, should awaken our hearts to love Him. And we're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 that we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And we're told that he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. So it puts a responsibility upon us to be followers of Christ. And in 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 said very clearly, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us And he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. So the Lord loves all those that trust him. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, most of you can probably say it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we understand that the Lord loves Solomon also. You read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, as David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and he went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, in verse 24. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. While he was just a babe, he loved him. So you consider this passage here and what opportunity was granted to Solomon in verse 5 of chapter 3, verse 5 of 1 Kings. Says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. What an opportunity. What a blessing. Ask what I shall give thee. And you understand that that God loved him. And he said, ask what I shall give thee. What do you seek from the Lord? What is it you would have God do for you? You ever consider that he is a God that delights in mercy? In the book of Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So such a privilege that was granted Solomon, it does not come upon one of God's children without solemn preparation. You need to be prepared. You need to seek him and seek his will in your life. And such is the case with Solomon. He had journeyed to Gibeon. He had engaged in long and solemn sacrifice, 1,000 burnt offerings. His whole heart, his mind was filled with the holiness of God. And you look in chapter 3 here. It says, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, verse 1, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her unto the city of David, until he made an end of building of his own house in the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem. And only the people are the people sacrificed in high places. The house of the Lord wasn't built yet, so they sacrificed on the rooftops. They sacrificed to God on the hilltops and in high places. This wasn't idolatry. Don't get the wrong idea. They were sacrificing to God, but they didn't have the place to sacrifice as they did after he'd finished the building of God's house. And it says they sacrificed in high places because there was no house built under the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord and walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon. Now that was a highest place. It was the most important place for them. It was a place that was used often to offer sacrifice to God. And it says it was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on the altar. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And not that it was a dream that he said this. Not that God was a dream or some spirit, but actually appeared to him as he was at night, as he was asleep. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said that thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according to as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Of course, Solomon was referring to himself. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. and thy servant is in the midst of thy people. And he felt his inabilities. He felt his weaknesses after offering up such sacrifices. Now offering up, seeing those what sin caused. He saw these things, and he says, "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a chosen people, a great people." That cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word, and lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And verse 13, I have also given thee that which thou dost not ask, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. You understand what a privilege that was put upon Solomon here. We see that we have here with Solomon a time of preparation. And you understand, in this case with Solomon and what those sacrifices meant, he had journeyed to Gibeon. He had engaged in long and solemn sacrifice. 1,000 burnt offerings, as I said. His whole heart, his mind was filled with the holiness of God, with the terror and the horrible consequence of sin. And this is what had taken over Solomon. You just consider the awful ruin of sin. You consider the lost lives, the homes that are wrecked, the abuse, the suffering, the pain, the death, the destruction. And you know, I can't help but believe that Solomon was thinking upon these things as he lay down to sleep that night. The feeling of his own weakness, the worthlessness of who he was. And there God appeared to him in a dream. And that with all sufficient grace. You know, if you are to be honored by God, then your soul and your substance must honor Him. The Bible teaches this very clearly. As I said, for the why we obey God is to honor Him. And you will be honored by God. Eli found out, didn't he, when he overlooked the wickedness of his sons and he lost the priesthood. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, he says, "Wherefore the Lord God has said, I said indeed that thy house, Eli, not the whole house of Levi, but thy house, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Amen. If you don't know the story of Eli, I'll tell you real quickly. He had some very wicked sons. They were misusing their authority and their power in the worst way. And Eli didn't do anything about it. He indulged in his sons. And he lost his priesthood, lost his sons. So trusting Christ, in trusting Him, you understand that you choose all that covers all things that will cover all your needs. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now I want to go back and consider this divine offer. What shall I give thee? Now, if you have a child and you can say, well, what shall I give thee? They may come up with some stuff you can't provide. But this is God speaking.
Amen.
This is God speaking. He's the sovereign, immutable God that created and He sustains this universe. He feeds the birds. He takes care of the... He keeps everything going. By Him all things consist. And He is... He did all this. He created the universe, sustains us, and sustains it by the power of His Word. And this is the eternal God. This is the holy God, the Redeemer God. He is the God of all love. And in making this offer, God is laying His divine character, and that with His infinite abundance, at the feet of Solomon. He said, ask what you want. And this one offer to Solomon, in this is given all that is needed to enrich him for all time and eternity. So just think it for a moment, if you were given such an offer. Just think for a moment. You know, we hear about the genie in the magic lamp. Hey, this is far greater than that. You say, well, the first thing I would wish for is 1,000 more wishes. Yeah. You know, whatever. But this is what God says. Ask what you want. I'll do it. But you know, the Lord does come to you with such an offer. Does He not? Yeah. Does He not? He has done even more. And as Paul described his calling to the Gentile, and that to the Gentile believers in Ephesians chapter 3. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that's you and me, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, He has given you all blessings. Everything you could wish for. You listen here. Romans 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So you think that Solomon has something on you? You've been given the same request. Ask what I shall give thee. So in making this offer, we see that God is giving His unsearchable riches. And they lie continually before us. By grace, even without asking, while we were yet sinners, He gives us His all in Jesus Christ. So what was the choice that Solomon made? He said, give thy servant an understanding heart. Verse 9. Now I hope this is your cry. I hope this is your plea. Instead of asking for a new home or a new car or even health or length of days, I pray that this is your request. Lord, give me an understanding heart. And I'll show you why. Why you should know this and why you should seek this. Because Solomon had been awakened by the sacrifice for sin. He had seen his sinfulness and he'd been granted faith in the sacrifice of God. And if that wise choice is to be made, it must come from an illuminated heart. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath darkened their minds. James, we see in this, before we get to the book of James, but we see in this that this choice covered all his need. Verses 7 and 8 shows us that it covered all his need. And you understand that this is what he sought. James says in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see where we're going with this? See, trusting Christ, you choose that which covers all your needs. In putting your faith in him and casting your soul at his feet, you've not taken care of only the things that are temporal. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, but things eternal. How many times have we started something that didn't end well because of lack of wisdom? He said, man, if I'd only known. You get through something and it's been a train wreck. And you look back and you said, if I'd only known. So what a great choice this is. And we're told, on top of all that, not only was it a very wise choice, and not only did it cover all of his need, it pleased God. Verse 10 of our text says it pleased God. So what he had asked was not for any selfish advantage. What he had asked would honor God and would honor God's people. We're told that you ask amiss if you would consume it upon your own desires. James in chapter 4 verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So I want you to consider your requests. I want you to consider your petitions, that they are not often hidden in the cares and anxieties of self-interest. And then he received what he had asked. The abundant answer. God alone can give this gift. You look at verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy word. You think God doesn't answer prayer? He says, behold, I have done according to thy word. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. God alone can give this gift. You have no real understanding of things until God grants them. You don't. You may be worldly wise. You may have a list of degrees behind your name a mile long. But you don't understand anything until God gives you the wisdom. In the book of 1 Corinthians, as a matter of fact, most of that stuff that we learn from the things of this world are just trashed. They're turned upside down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then, chapter 3, of this same book, verse 19, says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." And again, verse 20 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Okay, you understand it was an abundant answer. He received what he asked. He received, actually, more than he asked. You look in verse 13 of our text, it says, "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." He sought first the kingdom of God. He knew, knowing if God would give him the wisdom, if God would reveal to him his heart and his mind, that he would know what was right. He sought first the kingdom of God, and all other things were added. His riches exceeded all the kings of the earth. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, this account continues about Solomon. And all the way back in chapter 10, verse 23 said, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." You think, well, this all sounds like a fairy tale. How could this be true? How could it be possible? He that findeth Christ findeth wisdom. Amen. That's how it's possible. Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and of all the things you canst desire, not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." Oh, what great hope we have as children of God. There are some folks here that are even older than me that will tell you very clearly and very quickly the things of this world fade with age. They're not nearly as important. Amen. When you're in your 80s, 70s, 80s, some in their 90s, not nearly as important as the things as they were when you were younger. So you want to gain the age, gain the seniority, and gain the wisdom of the aged? Don't hold too tight onto the things of this world. Don't get so involved in the things of this world that they take you from serving Christ. And they keep you from being a servant to God and to fellow man. Ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That may be the problem with many of our prayers. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Are your prayers like Solomon's? I pray the Lord would give us a heart and a mind, a desire to please Him. That He would give us a hearing ear and an obedient heart, that we might honor Him in all that we do. The blessings are untold. And that not only honor God and glorify Him, but that we might be a blessing through Him to all others around us. Blessing to our family, our loved ones, our friends. A blessing to this world. Because you know, it's a short life at the longest. What kind of legacy will you leave behind? Knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the promise of Solomon. God said, "Ask, what I shall give thee. Just seek Him, trust and obey, and He will bless you. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a hymn?